بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Dhariyat and we have reached verse number 24. قال الله تعالى: هل أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين؟ Has the story reached you of the honored guests of Ibrahim? The address here is to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not alone, but rather for him and for everyone to whom the address fits. This exclamation, has this story reached you? This is an exclamation for attracting attention. Known in Arabic as at-tashwiq, making one eager to know as to what will come or what to hear. So here there is this exclamation of attraction, as if attracting you to hear their story. And similar to this in the Quran, we have in Surah As-Saff, verse 61, verse 10. 61 verse 10. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Listen. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Oh, you believe, shall I guide you to a commerce? You see that? Shall I guide you to a commerce that will save you from a painful torment? This is not an exclamation asking you about, no. What is intended is that those being addressed are attracted in this way. And also it could be this type of exclamation, not only for attraction, it could be as a threat and warning. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ Verse 1 and verse 2. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ Surah Al-Ghashiyah 88, verse 1 and 2. Has there come to you the narration of the overwhelming day of resurrection? Some faces that they will be humiliated in the hellfire, the faces of the disbelievers. This is an exclamation intending threat. Now, if someone asks the following question: what is the indication that will help us to distinguish between that intending attraction or that intending threats and so forth? The answer is, this is dictated by the context and by the situational indications, and the one who contemplates will understand. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here in this verse, back to it, has this story reached you? هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ Has this story reached you? Concerning whom? ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيم The guests who came to Ibrahim, and they were honorable angels alayhim as-salam. Dayf Ibrahim, his guests, those who came as guests to Ibrahim, and Ibrahim is the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the khulla is the greatest of love. So when we say that Ibrahim is Khalil al-Rahman and our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is Khalil al-Rahman, it's not to be translated as friend. Correctly, the khulla should be written khulla, K-H-U-L-L-A, and between parentheses, khulla is explained as the highest of love. And he, Ibrahim عليه السلام, is the father of the Arabs. And he is the father of the children of Israel. as Allah stated in Surah Al-Hajj 22:78, مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. It is the millah, the deen, the religion of your father Ibrahim. It is he who has named you Muslims both before. And he, Ibrahim, is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to follow his millah, his deen. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Nahl 16:123, ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين. This is the millah of Tawheed. Then we have inspired you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow the deen of Ibrahim, Hanifan, Islamic Tawheed, monotheism, worshipping none but Allah. And he was not a mushrik of the polytheists and idolaters. And that's why when the Jews claimed that Ibrahim was a Jew, and the Christians claimed the same, that he was a Jew, he was a Christian, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that this is a lie that they had invented. And Allah stated in Surah Al-Imran regarding this, chapter 3:67, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Ibrahim was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was a true Muslim, Hanifa, pure on Tawheed, and he was not of the mushriks, the polytheists. يقول الله عز وجل, then after that, إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا. Has the story reached you of the honored guests, the angels of Ibrahim? إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ, when they came into him, فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا, and they said salam. Here, when they came, it means either that you mention when they came in to him, or it is also possible to mean that they, the honored, when they, those angels, when they entered to him, he honored them. The honored when they entered to him, meaning he honored them when they entered. It's possible either way that the meaning refers to that or that. فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا, and they said salam, meaning نُسَلِّمُ سَلَامًا, we greet you with the greetings. So he said, قَالَ سَلَام, he answered salam, meaning وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَام, and peace be and salam be upon you. So therefore, the taslim came in a verbal context, in a verbal phrase. And the answer came in a nominal phrase. And the nominal statement indicates firmness and continuity. And that's why the scholars, rahimahumullah, said that the response of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is more perfect than the taslim of the malaika of the angels upon him when they said salam. That is because the taslim of the angels came in the verbal context, verbal statement, and the Ibrahim response came in the nominal sense. So if دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما قال سلام قوم منكرون. Nominal meaning of a Yeah. Not verbal. You know that? Not verbal. Yani verbal meaning fa'liyya. Fa'l referring to the verb. And nominal meaning ismiyya, referring to the ism. So he said, you are people unknown. Munkarun. As Allah stated in another verse in Surah Hud, 1170, فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ نَكِرَهُمْ وَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. But when he saw their hands went not towards it, the meal, which he presented to them as we will know now, he felt some mistrust of them and conceived a fear of them. Then Allah said in the next verse, فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. When they came to him and said salam, he answered salam and said, you are people unknown to me. Then Allah said, فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. Then he turned to his household. He went apart in a quick move. This is because of his good hospitality. He didn't say, wait till I bring you some food. And he didn't go slow as if being pushed to it. But rather he went apart quickly, lest they go and, you know, if they see him going to his household. So as if he concealed the matter. As if he concealed the matter from them. فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. What did he bring? In the next verse, then he turned to his household, so brought out a roasted calf. Roasted calf. And in another verse, in Surah Hud, 1169, Ibrahim. In Surah Hud, بِعِجْلٍ حَنِيذ, 1169. And verily they came, our messengers, to Ibrahim, the angels, with glad tidings, and they said, salam. He answered, salam. And he hastened to entertain them with a roasted calf. Roasted. And when the meat is roasted, it is more delicious and tasty. Now, because its taste stays, it's not mixed with water, with moisture. Unlike when it is cooked with water, there will be water. And therefore its taste becomes lesser. It will become lesser in taste. But if it is roasted, it becomes more delicious and better. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, did not go and choose for his guests a thin, weak, calf or no, rather he brought for them a fatty, healthy one, because this is more tasty, more beneficial, more delicious. And this choice of his, either it is from his way, his tradition, that he honors the people when they come as guests, he honors them with this, or he honors them as the situation demands or entails, such that if there were too many, he will bring them a calf. If less, he would bring sheep, and so forth, as it is the nature with the generous people. In the next verse, Allah states, فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. So he placed it before them, saying, "Will you not eat?" So he didn't put it away from them. And didn't tell them, he didn't put it away and then said to them, "Okay, come forward to your meal." But rather he served them and put it before their hands, close, and said, "Ala ta'kulun?" Will you not eat? He didn't say, "Eat." Rather, he presented it in a way of presentation, because this is more profound with the generous and in being generous. And presentation is lighter and more clement than the command. Because if he would have said to them, "Eat," it possibly would interfere in the sense that he is in a command authority directing them, but he said, "Will you not eat?" And the difference between the two statements is obvious in terms of the kindness. "Ala ta'kulun?" Will you not eat? This is kinder than "eat." Now, then comes therefore a question. Is it the sunnah, the way and the best thing to do with a person if he invites his guests or his guests, he receives some guests to go and bring the food and serve it in the majlis sitting place, or we say that this differs with the situations and conditions? The answer is in the latter. Because the general word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه." Whoever believes in Allah and the hereafter, let him honor his guest. This hadith, this general statement of the Prophet ﷺ indicates that their honoring is in accordance with the tradition of honoring. And in our times, if in this community, if you invite your friends and etc., and they may be few, they don't consider that serving the food in the sitting place, they don't consider it to be an insult, because there are your brothers, your friends, etc. However, if you have a guest, or you invite a guest where you don't have much relation with, then it is in the custom of the people now that it is not from his honoring that you present the food in the place of sitting, unless it is a necessity, if you don't have a place. Nowadays, the honoring is to present the food in its place. And if the host wants them to come and eat, he would say, "Tafaddalu, please come forward. Will you not come forward?" Or the like of used words. So the important thing is that فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ, and he placed it before them saying, "Will you not eat?" So therefore this depends upon the conditions of people. If the honoring is to bring the food to the sitting place, then bring it. And if it is to put it in another place, then do so. Depending, this is in line with the generality of the hadith, whoever believes in Allah and in the last day, let him honor his guest. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ. Then he conceived a fear of them when they ate not. See, he presented the food to them and they didn't eat. So he conceived a fear of them. They said, "Fear not, لا تخف." وبشروه بغلام عليم. And they gave him glad tidings of an intelligent son having knowledge. So he conceived a fear. The reason is that when he presented the food to them, they did not eat. And it is the custom and the tradition, if the guest does not eat from the host's food or what he presents to them, you know, strange, because it is the norm that the guest eats from what is presented to him. But these were not humans. These were angels. His guests were angels, and he did not know. That is because the angels are hollow in structure, as it is replete from the Salaf in their description. And that's why they don't need to eat. They have no need for food nor for drinks. So that's why he conceived a fear from them. So they comforted him. They said, قالوا لا تخف, fear not. Because when they saw the signs of fear on his face, they comforted him. And each person knows the situation of the person confronting him. Is he in state of fear? Is he in state of delight? This is known. Is he in a state of ease? Is he fearful of something? Is he comfortable with something? This is known by nature, by one's own nature, and does not need great insinuation and so forth. وَبَشَّرُوهُ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ, and they gave him the glad tidings of an intelligent, knowledgeable son. And Ibrahim alayhi salam at this stage was very old. So, and then at this age, they give him the glad tidings of a son. And they told him that his son will be a knowledgeable one. Because Allah chose his son to be from the prophets. And the prophets are the most knowledgeable of the creation concerning Allah and his names and his attributes, his deeds, his actions, his rulings. And this boy is other than the other boy of Ibrahim, whom Allah described as Halim, clement. Because Ibrahim was given the glad tidings in two verses in the book of Allah. In one verse, بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ, بُشِّر بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ, he was given the glad tidings of a clement son, kind, clement. And the other son was described as having knowledge and intelligent. The clement one is Ismail, the father of the Arabs from Ibrahim. And the knowledgeable son is Ishaq, the father of the children of Israel, the father of Bani Israel. And Israel is Yaqub, Jacob. And that's why you find their stories different. And those who said that the clement son is the same clement, is the same knowledgeable son, they fell in an error. We have a clear, explicit text in Surah As-Saffat that they are two different sons. That is, in Surah As-Saffat, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the story of Ismail, the one who was chosen in the test of Ibrahim as a sacrifice, Allah said after that, after he mentioned the story of Ismail, he mentioned in Surah As-Saffat 37:112, وَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقَ نَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. After mentioning the story of Ismail, Allah then mentioned that of Ishaq. And we gave him the glad tidings of Ishaq, a prophet from the righteous. So how could it then we say that he was given the glad tidings of the one whom he was to slaughter according to the test? And he was all of this indicates that they are two different boys. So here he received the three elements of glad tidings. That he will have a newborn, or will be a boy, and that he is a boy, not a female. The third is that he is alim, meaning he has knowledge. All these are great glad tidings. Each one of them stands to be a glad tiding on its own. What happened to his wife when she heard of this? Allah states in the next verse, فأقبلت امرأته في صرة فصكت وجهها وقالت عجوز عقيم. Then his wife came forward with a loud voice. She smote her face and said, a barren old woman. This is Sarah, the mother of Ishaq. She came forward when she heard the glad tidings. She came with a loud, happy voice. Because after all of this age, she is given the glad tidings of a son. She came with a loud voice, as if she was saying, and Allah knows best, غلام, غلام, boy, boy. فَصَكَّتْ وَجْهَهَا, meaning she smote her face in amazement, as some people do up till our times, if there's some news comes to them, they will say Allahu Akbar, and they smote over their heads, smite their head, their faces. وَقَالَتْ عَجُوزٌ عَقِيمٌ, she said in amazement, a barren old woman, meaning I am an old barren woman. After these years, now having a son, they told her of the sole reason for the birth of this child. They said, كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ, خلاص, sufficient. They said, even so, says your Lord. Meaning, as we said, as we told you, and as we gave you the glad tidings, this is the saying of your Lord. Look, her name, Allah said, قَالَ رَبُّكِ, your Lord. Your Lord meaning to his mother. You're referring to his mother. So there is here a conjugation of her to the term Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related his lordship, connected it in relation to her, meaning this is an indication of Allah's care of her. Because when this lordship is mentioned in connection to a person, particular person, then this is known as الربوبيةُ الخاصة, specific lordship. The general lordship is for everyone. That is because Allah is the Lord of everyone. But the particular one is not for anyone except whom Allah had particularized. Like, take for example, in Surah 17, 121 and 122. قالوا آمنا برب العالمين. The magicians of the Pharaoh, when they saw the great signs of Musa, they submitted to Allah and they said, قالوا آمنا برب العالمين رب موسى وهارون. They said, we believe, look, in the Lord of all that exists. Then they mention what? رب موسى وهارون, the Lord of Musa and Harun. Now in the first one there is generality, right? We believe in the Lord of the Alameen, all that exists. Al-A'raf, طيب. They said we believe in the Lord of Al-Alameen. You see that? Now look what they said afterwards. The Lord of Musa and Harun. In the latter there is particularization, right? In the former there is generalization. Is that clear to you? Is that clear? In the first statement, قَالُوا أَمَنَّا بِرَبِّ, رَبْ, Lord. We believe in the Lord of the Alameen. And then in the next statement, what? The Lord of Musa and Harun. In the first one, there is the general lordship. And the second, Rabbi Musa wa Harun, the Lord of Musa and Harun, here there is the particular lordship, which indicates a special care. So they said, قالوا كذلك قال ربك إنه هو الحكيم العليم. They said, even so, says your Lord, verily He is the all-wise, all-knower. Inshallah, we continue the explanation of the rest in the next class. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.